No propaganda, no lies, and definitely no BS. You're with Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk, TNT.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the ultimate Johnny Vedmore show of the week. We're here at the Friday. It's wonderful. And it is a stormer of a show today, of course. We are going to take a dark red pill with our last guest, but not before Dr. Heath helps us understand what each of those colored pills do. So I'm really looking forward to today's show. Yes, that's right. My favorite psychologist will be back on the show today, and he is a firm favorite with all of you, I am sure, because he's such a lovely chap. And every time he's on, he teaches me something new. My friends in the chat, I look forward to your questions and comments too. The chat has been so lively over the past few weeks, or since I started, really. And I trust you all to get involved and ask the questions which I may miss. And I may miss a question here or there. I always do. I try and listen very carefully, but you know, it's really hard to. It's really funny how you kind of like, you know, you think of a question, you think of a bundle of questions to ask people, you ask them the questions, and later on you're like, oh, I wish I had asked them some other things. Sometimes they spring up in your mind at the time, and sometimes they don't. And it's all dependent on how you feel at the time and how your brain's charged. So I really do appreciate your help in that. There's obviously a lot happening at the moment. Some of it good, some of it bad. But as always, we will be looking at both sides and coming to some form of conclusion, our independent conclusion, definitely. I can't reiterate enough the importance of listening to two sides of the argument, as you must see the whole picture before you make the decision. I've said that over and over again over the past few weeks. In fact, I'm currently experiencing someone refusing to look at two sides of the argument at the moment so that they can stay on their high horse. Unfortunately, their high horse is upside down, and both animal and rider have their heads firmly planted in the sand, as always. I kind of like it when someone decides to do that, because I know that eventually they'll have to pull their head out of the proverbial rear end, and they will be less likely to make the same error twice. And that is something that happens all of the time, is that people have to go through the mistake, have to feel the shame, have to feel their pride going away. Some have to completely have ego death before they can realize that they can potentially be wrong. But at the time, conflict is often annoying and tedious. You become frustrated by those who refuse to examine any evidence, and you just want to get to the part where they cave in and begin to open their ignorant minds. But that doesn't happen quickly. Humans are overly stubborn. I know I have been in the past, and you just can't change someone's mind unless they're willing to listen and learn, or unless they're ready to take in the information. And we're not always ready. Like I say, our brains charged at different times in different ways, and you know, we think about different things at different times as well. As human beings, we all make errors in judgment. I've made a few. Trial and error is an everyday part of life. But it is possible to overcome your own hubris. And it is also possible to hop off the bandwagon. Mm-hmm. Though that intoxicating music and the energy is hard to leave behind, because it distracts us so conveniently from the creation of our internal narrative and our general inner monologue. Now, one of the reasons I like doing this job so much is it gives me the ability to present two sides of the coin. And we shouldn't fear that, as I've said. If we've built our beliefs on sturdy grounds, then it doesn't matter how much you shake the foundations, everything will stay standing. But the amount of people building their castles in wet sands these days has become quite absurd. And I think it's only going to get more absurd as fifth generation warfare continues. So I hope you're happy to risk your pride for a biscuit. We should be throwing our pride to the side whenever the moment to do so does abide. Allow yourselves to be wrong, and in doing so, you allow yourself to be right also. Yeah, work that one out. For you cannot see the lying without knowing the shape. You cannot see the yin without knowing the shape of your yang. no euphemism intended at all. Within this group, we all know that the major events which have happened over the past 100 years or more did not happen as the history books or Wikipedia recorded them. That doesn't mean everything that is recorded is false. It just means that the nuance has been manipulated to leave most people clueless. We know that 9/11 was one of the most questionable and suspicious events to happen in modern times. We know that the build-up to the Iraq War was built on lies and misinformation. We know that October the 7th didn't happen in a vacuum. And we know that the prison guards who have kept Gaza's population in a massive open-air internment camp chose to look the other way at the most opportune time. Opportune for who? Well, not for the hostages, that's for sure. As the complex yet poetic Leonard Cohen said, everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Now, if you missed your favorite TNT show or interview, simply listen back when you want, wherever you want. Just visit episodes on the TNT website. We are also on all major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Podbeam, iHeart, and TuneIn. Now there's no reason to miss out on anything on TNT.
Delivering the facts.
Source I can trust.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Right, so the European Union has launched a probe to determine whether Meta Platforms Inc.'s child safety efforts have fallen short of regulatory requirements. Here with the story, joining me now is TNT news producer Adam Clark, aka Ruckus. Ruckus, tell us about how these evil people are allowing other evil people to do evil stuff.
Sure. You know, it's funny because I used to use Facebook, which is a Meta product, of course, quite frequently until I got into the whole X thing, thanks to Elon Musk social engineering us all into that one platform this year. So I must say that my personal experience has been X, formerly known as Twitter, absolutely not a safe place for children or most adults. My experience with Facebook, though, I didn't see a lot of crazy stuff going on there, but I know it happens, and I know this is a big issue on all of these platforms. But yes, the European Commission, which is the EU's executive branch, said in a press release on Thursday that it had opened formal proceedings against Meta to assess whether the Mark Zuckerberg-founded company, was it really, or was it founded by the U.S. government DARPA arm? Anyway, may have breached the EU's Digital Services Act, the DSA, as it pertains to protecting minors. This act requires very large online platforms and search engines, hello, Google, to put in place various measures to protect children online, including by preventing them from accessing inappropriate content and ensuring a high level of privacy and safety. Failure to comply with the rules could result in such companies being fined up to 6% of their global revenue. Wow. However, the commission said it is concerned that the systems behind both the Facebook and Instagram platforms, which are both Meta products, including the algorithms that recommend videos and posts, could lead to addiction among children and create so-called, you can't make this stuff up, quote, rabbit hole effects, end quote. Yep. Additionally, EU officials are concerned with the age verification methods that are put in place by Meta, which include requiring users to either upload an image of their government-issued ID, record a video selfie, or ask mutual friends to verify their age. Not sure how that works. The investigation will focus on multiple areas, including Meta's compliance with DSA obligations regarding the assessment and mitigation of risks caused by the, quote, design of Facebook's and Instagram's online interfaces, end quote, which the commission said, quote, may exploit the weaknesses and inexperience of minors and cause addictive behavior, end quote, among other things. The commission noted, quote, such an assessment is required to counter potential risks for the exercise of the fundamental right to the physical and mental well-being of children, as well as to the respect of their rights, end quote. Apparently, Johnny the probe will also focus on Meta's compliance with DSA requirements relating to mitigation measures to prevent young users from accessing inappropriate content, notably its age verification tools, which the commission said, quote, may not be reasonable, proportionate, and effective, end quote. Additionally, the investigation will look into whether or not Meta complied with DSA obligations to ensure a high level of privacy, safety, and security for minors, particularly with regard to default privacy settings, excuse me, for minors. The probe into Meta is based on a preliminary analysis of a risk assessment report that was sent by Meta in September 2023. In a statement on Thursday, Marguerite Vestager, who is the executive vice president for a Europe fit for the digital age, said the EU Commission had concerns that Facebook and Instagram, quote, may stimulate behavioral addiction, and that the methods of age verification that Meta has put in place on their services is not adequate, end quote. I think you get the idea. So it looks to me, Johnny, like on the surface, when you look at this on the headline level, that they want to keep kids safe. This is about their physical and mental well-being. And who can argue with that? But who's to say if, like, I don't know, what if there's like a pandemic and somebody wants to say, hey, we think this shot that you're about to jab into your little arm there is dangerous. A body like the EU might say that that post on TikTok or Facebook that should not be viewed by them because it could cause harm if they take the advice to not take the jab. You see where I'm going with this? But what say you about this whole report?
Yeah, it's really difficult because children and younger people, especially teenagers, and I mean, that's really, it's really teenagers that they're supposed to cater for on these platforms, in that sense, you know, the youngest. They tend to look for stimulating stuff. So they're going to be searching out that sort of stuff. So if the stuff is there, they're going to find it whether you like it or not. And really, I think what they really, really want is to stop us being stimulated as adults. They want us to be controlled, controllable. And of course, the best way is to aim at the fear of parents out there. Many parents are really scared by the fact that, you know, they get told so loads of seeds in their head about how these platforms are going to cause danger, and they will cause some form of danger, and there will be dangerous people out there, and there's a risk. If your kids, if you've got a 13-year-old girl or boy hanging around on Facebook, they're hanging around with a bunch of nefarious people too. I mean, most people with their head screwed on don't actually use Facebook that much anymore. They use it to quickly message someone. There's a load of adults who are heavily addicted to it. I watch people in shops and cafes sometimes scrolling through their Facebook. I saw it the other day, and sometimes you just can't help but to watch how the people are interacting with this themselves. And I remember watching a mother, she's sitting there, her child's asleep in the pram, and she sat down at a cafe and she looks like she's about to relax and have something to drink with her friend, and her and her friend pick up their phone, look at it straight away, and just start scrolling down Facebook constantly. That's all they're doing. She's not even looking for, she's just scrolling, and what's she looking for? She's looking for stimulation. It's the same thing all humans do, and it's the same thing that the teenagers do. They're looking for something that stimulates your mind. Now, when you're a kid, a lot of the time, either you're someone who doesn't want to break the rules, or you're someone who can't help breaking rules. When I was a kid, I broke the rules all the time. I always did all of the things you're not supposed to do, and went to all of the places you're not supposed to go, and set fire to the things that you're not supposed to set fire to, which was most of the things. Some kids have a propensity towards being naughty, and so these spaces have to be reliable and responsible to some sort of extent. But this is still you know, I still feel that a lot of this should be in the hands of the parents, and that, that for some reason we have this idea that parents, that children should just be left to unsupervised in an adult world, and that's really dangerous. Would we let our kids into a nightclub to hang around with adults? Would we let our kids go and go to places where there's dark corners where they can disappear with people who are going to tell them terrible things? Most of the people who are groomed nowadays are groomed online, I'm sure. So, you know, these kids, their Facebook doesn't turn off when they leave the house and go to school. They just continue flicking through, looking for stimulation. So really, as well, this is the training of children so that they can later on become good adults. And then when I say good adults, adults like the regulators want, those type of adults that don't get too stimulated and don't think about the things that they don't shouldn't be thinking about, you naughty children. We're all naughty children to these people. We're all naughty children. Did Mark Zuckerberg say anything about this? These accusations at all?
I did not see a comment from him personally, but maybe, you know, maybe he's too busy living it up in the metaverse. I don't know. I don't even know if that guy is real, if he's the same Mark Zuckerberg that we used to know back in the day. I think they switched him out with a clone, Johnny. That's my own personal crazy conspiracy theory right there. I believe that if it was possible, if there was a way to do this, I think the best solution as far as children go with social media is I think it just should be age restricted, period, that no children should be using social media. I mean, we do this for like content on movies. Like you can't just go to an R-rated movie. Although some of us, of course, when we were younger, we snuck in or we caught it on cable. I understand that. But I mean, like, you're not physically getting into a theater if it's like NC-17 and you're like 10 years old, you know, it's just not going to happen. So, you know, we put restrictions on alcohol, we put restrictions on cigarettes, we put restrictions on marijuana when it's legalized. Why can't we do that for social media? I think that that's probably the best way to go. I don't know how it would be enforced this day and age. So it's probably impossible to do, but, you know, I think it needs to happen, my friend.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people in the chat there. Lucas saying internet is inherently addictive. They know it. And says every soul has a cell phone and they play on them. Of course they do. Yeah. And little Carol says get kids off the internet as much as possible. Wild Heather says it's all about balance. And it's only old farts that use Facebook. Kids use other apps. That's very true as well. And little Carol also mentions, what about the disgusting performance on Eurovision? And that lends us to another question, you know, what's actually happening on normal TV, let alone what's going on Facebook? I do not know. Well, you're going to stick with us for a little bit. We're going to come back after a short break. You're listening to today's news talk on TNT.
TNT's Mark Morano.
A suspected ISIS terrorist from Uzbekistan has illegally crossed the border in the United States in 2022. That was then released by the Biden administration and allowed to live freely in the U.S. for nearly 2 years. You know, it's so funny because they make it sound as though it's just Mexicans and Central Americans and South Americans. These are poor families and children. They're being separated. We have to have compassion. The border's open. Anyone, anywhere can come in.
Mark Morano on today's News Talk, TNT. TNT is an independent global news talk station that does what others only say they do. TNT is a live radio and TV broadcaster that simply tells the truth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No one in the world does what we do, crisscrossing the globe, providing credible news and opinion all day and all night. In 2.5 years, TNT has become a credible and exciting platform with brilliant hosts and staff. It's a critical time, and we must continue to call out the misinformation and propaganda from mainstream media and their powerful sponsors. We're now appealing to our many friends and supporters around the world to go to tntradio.live and make a small donation to TNT while we seek the right investors to continue our important mission.
Ladies and gentlemen,
today's news talk.
News and information.
TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk TNT. Now, today, on this Friday, we're not going to go to our first guest until we're going to go to our second guest first. And that's going to mean there's a little bit of a break in between. And our first guest on today is going to be Dr. Heath. So I want you to think about something which I'll chat about before we go to the news in about 10 minutes. But for the time being, I want to say that yesterday I spoke to you about some contact I had with an MSM journalist who writes for publications such as The Sun and the Mirror newspaper in the UK, proper bottom of the rung tabloid newspapers with the most potentially evil and coercive stories that you could possibly find within them. And I asked you all whether or not I should help him in his investigation of Tim Westwood, the former BBC DJ who has been accused of sexually abusing young girls and given, in my experience and from people I've talked to, allegedly giving Jamaican Yardie gangsters underage girls too as some form of protection payment. Now, you've got to take into account he was shot in a drive-by shooting during this period as well. Rumors are because he gave someone's sister across to somebody else. So that's pretty serious stuff. It's pretty serious in London. If you get shot in a drive-by shooting, that's an extremely rare thing to happen in Britain, of course, because we don't have guns. So whoever was after him was very, very angry. And I told you that I'd be running a poll on Twitter, and I'd abide by the results. So far, it appears pretty clear, though it isn't as tight as I expected, to be honest. So I'll be interested to see what the chat has to say about this too, gang. I know that you're still there. I'm just having a quick look across in the chat too. And now the majority of people have said, don't. What would you do? And yesterday you said the same thing. You know, they're only going to twist your words. They're going to twist your words. So I asked simple question. I said in the tweet that I put out, I was contacted by an MSM journalist who writes for newspapers like The Sun. He wants me to help with an article about DJ Tim Westwood, who I've been exposing for 5 years. In that time, I've refused to work with the BBC twice, which I have. Should I help him? I'll abide by your decision. Now, it's 290 votes in. It's only been going for a few hours. There's 18 hours left, so it's been going for about 6 hours. And the results so far, the yes is, yes, I should help him at 20%. The no's, I shouldn't help him at 28.6%. So the no's are already beating the yes's. But the winner so far with 51.4% is, of course, overthrow the government, which seems to be the right course of action, in my opinion. And I think it leaves us with more questions than answers again. So I probably won't be helping out. But I'd like to hear still from you guys, and I will abide by the decision. Never trust the BBC, Wee Fat Shug says in the chat. Listen, I'll tell you a little bit about this. I was, before I was working, I think I just started working for Unlimited, writing for Unlimited Hangout. It must have been about 2020, mid-2020. And I was still working as a part-time receptionist in a two-star hotel where I would do all of my work as quickly as possible so I could write the articles behind the desk. Well, no one knew what I was doing. They all thought I was working hotel stuff, you know. But no, I was investigating the nefarious people out there. And as I was on the way to work one day, I got a little phone call, a little email, and it was from someone who said, hello, I work for the BBC, and I'd really like to speak to you about Tim Westwood. And I thought, okay, I'm willing to hear. And it was a lady, I can't quite remember her name. She actually headed up the BBC's own investigation and inquiry into the Tim Westwood allegations. Inquiry and programs that have done nothing, have had literally zero effect, and have not seen Tim Westwood even so much as a light properly shone upon him or anything. And I kind of knew that this would be the case. First of all, it was one of their assistants contacted me, and I said, no, I'm not really interested. But then I listened to this lady because I wanted to hear what they were going to try and tell me. So I told them the story, which I'd already told out loud on multiple occasions on my way to work. I said, well, this is my experience with him, but what would you want to do? And they were looking to find a way to make me involved with their inquiry, because that would mean that any result that they come to, then I have to abide by, because I've suddenly got involved with it. And I realized this was a trap very early on. I knew that this was going to be a very cleverly coerced investigation, that they weren't going to be looking for the truth. They were going to be looking for their version of the truth. And of course, their version of the truth is always going to be suitable to the BBC. Well, eventually the BBC and Guardian did some exposés where they brought only six girls forward. And those six girls that they shone a light on their cases, I think it was six girls, those girls that they shone a light on the cases, they were not the worst allegations that you could find about Tim Westwood by far. My own personal experience is I worked in a five-star hotel back when I was 19. And Tim Westwood was at his peak then. He was one of the main radio presenters for BBC Radio 1. He was their primetime slots. Everybody loved Westwood. Westwood was large. And my experience was he had came back with a massive entourage, caused a load of trouble. We ended up with arguments in the hotel foyers between the management, security, and this large group of 30 or 50 people that he had brought back that included loads of young girls. And back then, I'm not sure if you remember what the 90s was like, but you could get into nightclubs when you were a girl, when you were 13, 14, 15, 16. You couldn't get into a nightclub when you were a boy when you were that age, only when you were a girl. So there's a lot of that comes, you know, a lot of that sort of historic breaking of the rules has led us to this point too. And they were trying to stop this entourage from going upstairs with him, and he was awful, an awful human being. But the second time he stayed, he was actually banned. He had to book under a different name, pretend he was someone else. And when he arrived, there was a standoff to say, oh no, we're not letting you stay. But he said, oh, I promise I'll be quiet this time. I promise I won't do the same thing. I promise. And he went upstairs, and later on, about 3 o'clock in the morning, when they're doing a floor walk, me and the room service boy, Barry, walked past a room. And his room was, there was a line of young girls outside. They were all between the ages of 14 and 18. I knew one of them. She was about 17 years old. And I saw her and I said, why, what are you doing here? You know this is bad. And she said, oh, I just want to meet Tim. And I was like, no, you don't. You really don't. You want to come downstairs with me now? And she said, no, I want to meet Tim. And I was like, I know you think you want to meet Tim, but honestly, you just do not want to go in there. And it was a long line. And she said, oh, no, I want it. So I was 19. I thought, you know, well, what can I do about it? Went down. Now, I made a police statement and I talked with the hotel, of course. But back then, you know, these sort of things were easily brushed under the carpet. And it was, along with all the other things that he did. So it's a very interesting case. And it's led on to me asking a load of questions, but not wanting to ever work with any of these mainstream platforms anyway, because I've already woken up. Now, the next question, and this is a question, we're going to go to news in a second, but the next question is for you to discuss in the chat while we're off in the news, and I want to discuss it with you before Dr. Heath comes on at 22. In about 10 minutes, we'll be discussing waking up with Dr. Heath. that process of, you know, when I was a 19-year-old boy in working as a night porter, dressed up like Captain Scarlet in a 5-star hotel, I wasn't awake. I was barely, the world was different in the 90s. You always say that. The older generation always says that. But I was stuck in that paradigm. But I want to ask you in the chat, when you first woke up, if any of you have got your first memories, even if it's just, you know, you're free to give a long answer, you're free to give a short answer, but let me know. And when we get back from the news, I'll compare my experience with your own as well, because, I mean, we all go through this process of waking up, but we're going to talk about that more with Dr. Heath. And for the time being, though, we'll go to the news. You're listening to today's News Talk on TNT. Here we go.
TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. The Biden administration announced on May 16th a new initiative to speed up court cases for asylum seekers at the southern U.S. border, aimed at managing the rising number of illegal immigrants before the November elections. Senator Joni Ernst and Representative Roger Williams accused the U.S. Small Business Administration and its administrator, Isabella Casillas Guzman, of obstructing congressional oversight concerning allegations of electioneering for President Joe Biden.
The common housefly, caught in the clutches of the spider's web. Every move it makes just makes matters worse. Then, dinner time.
Feast on the captivating stories, videos, and helpful information on our website.
Whoa.
Dinner's ready.
Oh, man.
Escape is futile.
Just one more video.
Get stuck in our web.
TNTradio.live.
Welcome back, my friends, to the Johnny Vedmore Show. I'm looking in the chat. We're going to go to Dr. Heath Early as well. So he's already listening in. So everybody behave themselves. I noticed a couple of notes in the chat. Renegade says, Johnny, such a good man for helping that girl. Hey, I still try and trying to find out who I can remember her name, and I'd like to talk to her and see it's so sad. I remember it being something where I should have, you know, I feel like now I should have gone back in time and done something more, but you just at the time when things like that happening, you don't know. Now, Sydney Adams says, I woke up to everything when I woke up to child abuse and human trafficking while working for a global pharmaceutical company in 2019. Shortly after I quit my job, as COVID made working a daily nightmare, and I saw where it was going. Then awake to geopolitics and other corruptions. At the point, knowledge was my drug and TV was the garbage, was in the garbage forever. Yeah, lots of people find that. I threw away TV, probably standard everyday TV, probably in about 2007. Myself, that's when I was like, I just can't take it anymore. Though I still used to go and log in and watch Question Time and stuff to keep in touch with politics. And Photon says, when we all marched, a million of us, and Blair still went to war, pretty much solidified the military industrial complex. We're largely in control, for me anyway. Yeah. Lord Melbury says, I woke up in the early 90s when I started to find out how history was being manipulated to misinform the public of the truth. David Irving started my journey. Ooh, that's a pill there. Teresa Wilde says, unfortunately, I didn't wake up until 2020. I had a psychotic break and my friend shouted at me, stop watching the effing news, go online and look at some other stuff and you will see. Well, I look at people now sometimes and I think ignorance is bliss. Renegade says, my wake up, great question. My mind goes first to reading The Creature from Jekyll Island when I was in college, but it's been a process. Dark Commission 1979, when I bought my first Crass record. and then there's a lot of others. Holly, David Kelly was jolting reminder of the evil that they are capable of. But I have always hated the government and authority, was a punk, but didn't believe what anyone said. Well, punks have all changed recently. Wild Heather says, I woke up. When I woke up, it was brutal. Something just switched in my brain and suddenly everything made sense. Everything turned upside down overnight. And Holly says, I helped someone today. Riverford delivery man. Oh, right. Okay, that's another thing. And I will go across now to my first guest to talk about this subject. Dr. Heath, the intriguing personality behind Therapy Bites, is a psychology expert who offers bite-sized therapy for your brain. Through his YouTube channel and X Spaces, he delves into various aspects of mental health, psychotherapy, and psychology. His content aims to inform, challenge assumptions, and promote understanding in the realm of mental health. You can follow him on X at therapy_bites. Dr. Heath, my main man with a plan. I'm so delighted you're on with me again. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Good to see you again, John. I look forward. What a great conversation. Something great to wake up to. No pun intended.
That is a good pun, though. And it might be true as well. Looks like you're having your morning tea and enjoying yourself and coming around. But we all have to wake up some way. And today we're going through something that my own followers will love, that the audience will appreciate, that most of the guests would like to. We all have done a lot of waking up, and as made famous by the Matrix movies and the far right blog, I've done a load of work on Curtis Yarvin, who you can't trust too much, I'll just say that. There is a perfect metaphor for the process of our psychological awakenings, the infamous blue pills, red pills, and the very daunting black pills. So can you help us go through each of these, Dr. Heath? Can you start off with maybe an understanding? I don't know how you want to start. I want to just say start off with the blue pill, but maybe you have something to say just before.
Well, I would like to ask your audience to think back in The Matrix, one of my favorite movies. I was fascinated by it from the get-go, like a lot of people were. Is to think back about the scene where Morpheus introduced the blue pill and the red pill. And then who handled the pill, who administered the pill. Now, on the tail end of that, what I'd like to do is kind of attempt to offer to empower your audience by talking about some neurological mechanisms, some tools that they have. And that there are certain areas, if you're thinking that someone is blue pilling, red pilling, or black pilling you, or you have the ability to do it to somebody else, there's really about seven different areas that would have to be overcome for them to be able to do that. So the first area is the PFC, the prefrontal cortex. So that area is really involved in critical thinking, critical decision making. How you present your personality, how you express yourself, how you moderate yourself in social settings. So in order for somebody to pill you, they would have to take control of the PFC. And again, what I'd like to do is offer people to take their power back. And it goes back to that question I had when I started, who administered the pill? I get those pills mixed up sometimes, and the black pill is kind of a new thing, you know. What are some of your thoughts, Johnny? I'd like to ask you maybe where you might realize that they were blue pill thoughts or red pill thoughts or black pill thoughts.
Well, that is very difficult, isn't it, to kind of look in on yourself and think, when were those moments where someone tried to keep me in the box? And when were some those moments when someone decided to let me out of the box? And then when were some of those moments where someone decided to throw me out of the box, whether I liked it or not, which is kind of which the three are. And I would say that interests. I was talking just before you came on about an incident in the Hilton Hotel where I worked years ago. I worked in a 5-star hotel, and I think that experience was full of pills. You know, they put you through a training and training courses in different hotels or different establishments. All have that sort of like moment where they try and blue pill you a lot. They're trying to make you think like they are. And then I think about working within autism. So I went and worked in about 2013. I started working with autistic kids, and they were wonderful kids. But in the training sessions, you know, we got onto the subject of what causes autism, and it's something that it causes great distress to a lot of people, but especially to a lot of the parents of children with autism, because those parents, they don't often want to believe that they've been, something's happened to their kid and it's been caused by something, maybe something that they've done themselves. Maybe they've allowed a medical practitioner to do something to their child that's caused this. Maybe something that we see as routine has caused this. Maybe it's something in the air. But if you try and put your finger on it, then in establishments like that, they try and close that box as quickly as possible and say, no. None of that's true. Don't even look at the evidence. Don't look at anything. Just believe what we have to say and move forward. So that's my experience of a blue pill.
I love that. Just real quick, I would say that contrary to the popular colloquialism, ignorance is bliss, which I would not agree with, that sometimes indeed ignorance can be bliss until the ignorance becomes something that reduces your functional status. And so I have nothing against not knowing something. And then there are some bits and pieces of information that in this current moment, people simply aren't willing to accept. Now, they may be willing to accept it at some point. But if you're in a relationship with somebody who they just don't want to accept information, I would view that as a journey and ask myself, Do they have the fuel for the journey? And so I don't think that we have to end relationships just because somebody's not ready to accept different pieces of information. We can kind of coach them along.
Yeah, I also think that there's sowing the seed. We're sowing the seeds in, and each of those seeds could be viewed as a potential red pill, I suppose. You know, when you approach something that someone isn't ready to know, especially when it's a loved one, people try and force it upon them. They try and force a red pill down people's throats when they're not willing. But a lot of the time, what we got to do is offer people a wide variety of red pills that they can take themselves, and then let them choose which one they want to start on, because there's always a starting point. Do you think that there's always a moment where as soon as you they've taken the red pill, there is no going back?
Well, maybe not. I kind of view the so-called, you know, red pill or even any other pill, black pill, blue pill, whatever, like you said, as a bit of a seed. So it's very important to understand what the brain does with information. When you share the seeds of information with me, I may decide to deal with it right now. I may decide to not deal with it. I may decide to postpone dealing with it. And so that's kind of setting in the seed hopper, so to speak, the pill hopper, so to speak. And the problem gets to be in the brain over time, if we don't say no, it's interpreted as a yes. So if we don't challenge a thought that somebody shares with us and we just let it sit and sit and sit, then over time it can take root. But that's because we have made a decision to not challenge that thought process. By the way, this is what brings in the temporal lobes, which includes the amygdala, that almond-shaped mechanism in the brain responsible for the fight or flight response. But it also has a key role in processing how we experience emotions, how we interpret social signals, and how we interpret social perceptions. So if we're not actively interpreting those, then they kind of go in the pill hopper. And if we don't say no, like to the evening news, that's the problem with the evening news. People don't sit there and actively think about it point by point. They're just a large funnel. And that sets in the pill hopper and eventually can take root, but it only takes root based on a decision to to not actively think about what we're being presented. And that can have long-term consequences. But with neuroplasticity, famous these days, I think there's really, and unless it's in very old age, that you can't rewire how your brain thinks. As long as you can learn a new cell phone number, you can always rewire your thinking.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, the chat, Wild Heather and We Fat Sugar both made the point that, you know, once they've taken the red pill and they've taken it willingly, their own red pill, the one that they chose, or the one they could not go back to sleep. I had this experience a couple of weeks ago. I may have talked to you about it, where I was in a pub with two guys, and I was in a bit of a mood. The barman had been a bit rude to me, and I was just like, they were talking about something that allowed me, they were talking about Neuralink, and it allowed me to then just tell them how the world order was in a way that they probably weren't ready. And the one was obviously unwilling to accept a red pill, but the other one, you could see he had swallowed the red pill and he didn't want to. So, I mean, once you wake up, is that your brain rewiring? Is that your whole paradigm shifting? Will you ever be able to go back to sleep?
It's amazing that you bring that up, because as you're talking about that, as a believer, no offense to anybody that's not, but as a believer, there's actually hints of that in the New Testament, where it talks about once someone puts their hand to the plow, once someone accepts this belief system as a believer, it's really, really bad to turn away from that. And that's the point at which that scripture is trying to get, that it really is hard to unthink things. But get this, it's actually harmful to unthink things that you once thought that were healthy to think. Now, the name for that is over-accommodation. Now, let's just say that you woke up and you decided that you had power, that you had what we call self-efficacy. And then you experience a trauma. By the way, this is one of the cardinal symptoms in trauma. And then based on experiencing the trauma, you start to rethink all those abilities you once believed that you had. You're not just accommodating your belief system to something that's accurate, because that's really healthy. You're actually going backward, turning your back on the plow, turning your back on the very thought processes that woke you up and made you who you are. It would be like Johnny saying, you know, I once thought I was a great host, but since this interview didn't go well, I guess I suck. I guess I don't have what it takes. I guess I'm a loser. See, that is actually going back to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And are we all capable of going back to sleep then, just by having negative situational pressures that cause us to not want to take the next step in our own advancement, I suppose? So I suppose the taking of pills is of psychological pills of this metaphor would be us trying to advance our mental state ourselves. And if we go back like that, that's us going back on a mental state. I don't know how to explain it. Maybe you can.
Well, I think it really is. I think it's as simple as a one step backward takes you farther backward than three steps forward. You will go backward farther and faster than you can ever go forward. And that's why there's such a downside to relapse in anything, you know, relapse in any kind of condition, because you always relapse to a much lower level than you were when you started your journey of recovery. And now another area is the insular cortex, which I call the disgust cortex. But that is the part of our brain where we have theory of mind about other people. And so not only does this affect you, it affects other people because you come to understand other people in a different way. You can come to think poorly of other people, catastrophically of other people. You come to label people. You come to become a bit paranoid that everybody is out to get you. Everyone is your enemy. And so going back to sleep doesn't just hurt you. It hurts your relationships. It hurts your career. It hurts your future, your chances of success.
I got a situation at the moment where someone who I just met, who I like, you know, I felt that I was friendly with this person. I know lots of the same people. We hung around with a lot of the same people in my hometown, etc. And he's turned on me, you could say, because of somebody else in another situation. But the situation is basically, I have offered him all of the evidence to show him that what I was saying was true. And he said, no, I'm going to refuse to look at all of the evidence. Is that just him blue pilling himself then? Is that a moment of the blue pill?
And you know, and so you went ahead and said it, the answer to the riddle that I proposed earlier is that Neo had to self-administer the pill. Mm-hmm. And so no one else can administer the pill to you. You have to, and this is where the ACC, the ACC is the anterior cingulate cortex. It's like a boot on the front of the large fibrous area that communicates information left or right the brain. So the ACC is in charge of error detection, anticipation of things that need to be done, and it also runs your motivation. And so what you're really saying, Johnny, without knowing it, is that this person's ACC is just not ready. And they're going to reject that, and they're going to refuse to look at. They're actually putting to sleep the error detection mechanism in their own brain, which, by the way, the flip side of that, if someone is trying to get you to believe something and they have some motivation which is nefarious or whatever, you can leverage the ability of your own ACC, ACC, you can think of it as to take action. You can leverage the ability of your own ACC to try to see if there's some faulty logic going on, to see if there's some incongruence and the pieces just quite don't fit together. And you may not know exactly what it is, but it may give you pause where you can say to somebody, you know, Johnny, I think you make some good points. Let me think about that. And I do that all the time. And I may think about things for a few minutes, like in a space on X, and come to some conclusion later. I may think about it overnight. I may think about it for weeks, months, or years. I had a friend of mine asking me a theological question. And I said, you know, Derek, I once thought I understood all of that, but now I'm not so sure. So I'm still thinking that over, and I'll have to get back to you. But your friend is actually not using his whole toolkit. He's leaving behind or shutting down or putting to sleep his own anterior cingulate cortex.
And just to end up, because we got about, like, we can talk for probably about another 30 seconds, I'd say, before the end. The black pill, that moment, is that just when you're not meant to take the red pill and your brain isn't ready to accept the truth? Is that what we really mean by that?
You know, I got to thinking about that, and I invite people to make up your own definitions that work for you. You don't have to take my definition, or certainly Hollywood's definitions of red pill, black pill, blue pill. I think it's just a great mnemonic device for thinking about your thinking. So a great mnemonic device for metacognition. And so I view the black pill, and I'm not sure about this. I'm still thinking about it. I view the black pill as a bit of an existential pill, where it's the abyss, and you begin to look at it and you see that, you know, life is meaningless. But the great news is I get to decide what I will put in the vacuum of my own existence.
You are a beautiful man, Dr. Heath. Thank you for coming on the show. I always appreciate it. I look forward to speaking to you again. Awesome. see you soon. Right, we'll be back very soon. You're watching the Johnny Bedmore Show on today's News Talk TNT.